want to move on to Jennifer Norton now from Pier One Theater. And Jennifer, I know that the last season was all of the work that Pier One Theater did was either on the radio or on Zoom. And can you talk a little bit about what's going to happen in the coming season?
Absolutely, thank you. We have a couple of distanced events happening right at the moment. We had our Shakespeare Sonnets running on KBBI for the month of February. This morning, we dropped a St. Patrick's Day video on our YouTube channel and social media. It's just a lovely little collection of songs. On Friday, March 26th at 7 p.m., the Fred Cook interview by Nancy Lord will air on KBBI. And then we know that everyone is very eager to get back to live performance and being an audience member or a performer. And we'll be doing a couple of things. We hope to be back on the Pratt Museum trails on Mary Epperson Day with a collection of small performances. We did a couple of walks on the Pratt Museum trails last year, which were very successful and fun.
I forgot to mention that.
So we have
it was
a little experience with live performance.
We had terrific.
Which we had a really good time with.
We had terrific attendance for in a collaboration with the Pratt Museum for Pier One, and when people walked along the trail out back behind the Pratt Museum, there were performances going on, but also you could, with your cell phone, you could access recorded performances. Is that going to continue?
Well, I don't know about the recorded performances, but that was a very fun way to connect people after the physical performance ended with the event. But so we hope to have some more experiences at the Pratt Museum. But we are also looking at other potential venues. Basically, we're getting outside and we're working on COVID policies that will allow us to gather as performers and as audience in an outdoor setting. So that season is upcoming. We're not sure what it looks like yet exactly, but we're looking at a few of the shows that we had postponed from 2020, or other small cast options that'll allow us to move forward.
And what about
youth? We also hope to resume. Oh,
and what about
youth theater camp? Exactly. We hope to resume our youth theater camps in person at the Spit Theater with probably some outdoor performances as well. But we hope to open those camps back up to kids ages 5 to 17 and get them working on their theater skills and in production. We may pursue some radio theater options with youth theater. Just excited to get everybody reengaged in person.
So I know that all of the shows that Pier One bought the rights to last summer were carried over to this summer since the season had to shut down. Are there are you still looking for directors or people to work on any of those shows and step up and say they're interested in them? Or how can a person get themselves involved in Pier One right now in terms of the planning of the season? Or is it already, because it hasn't been announced and it's not really decided yet, is it?
It's not quite decided yet. I am always open for proposals from people in the community who have burning projects that they want to get on the stage or on the radio, and really happy to hear about those things. We have several directors who had wanted to work on these projects in 2020 who are interested in coming back and trying them out this year. But I'm not quite sure exactly what it looks like yet. So yes, we are open. People can email me at info@pier1theater.org if you have ideas or things you want to get working on.
Well, I'm very excited about the idea of Pier One becoming something of a roving band of outdoor players. I mean, that sounds fun and exciting to me.
Yeah, we actually feel a little bit set free from the confines of our building at this moment. We can go many places and be many things, and I'm excited to continue that. Of course, we love the space on the Spit, and we're really eager to get back in there, but there's a lot of other directions to go in, which are really exciting.
Okay, thanks. That's Jennifer Norton, and that's pier1theater.org. And of course, as with all of these organizations, plug their name into your favorite social media platform, and you're likely to find them. Next is, first of all, thanks so much to Kyle and Aaron for their patience as we make our way to them. Kyle Schneider, what is happening with performance for the singers and the musicians in the high school and the middle school, I guess, as well, going forward in the next couple of months?
So as you can imagine, it's been a lot of students chomping at the bit, trying to get towards that performance opportunity. And the good news is that we have filed our mitigation plans with district office to have limited audience events at the high school. Initially, it's going to be our advanced ensembles, swing choir and jazz band. We'll have one standalone event. Then we will flip-flop. We'll have concert band and concert choir having a standalone event. And our main goal is that for our spring concert, which is near the end of the school year, to be able to have all of our high school performing ensembles together in one event at one time. Right now, we're waiting on those mitigation plans to be approved by district office. And then those events will be ticketed events because, of course, we do have to limit the size of our audience. And we will have more information on that as we go forward. One of the things that has not stopped throughout this whole process is access for our high school students to the honoree programs that exist within the state of Alaska through ASAA. And so we did have over a dozen students who received all-state honors for the what is traditionally the Fall All-State Music Festival. And so we had choir students and band students both that received those honors. And I'll just take a real quick moment to announce those folks. So for All-State Band, we had Larry Dunn, Joel Manwiller, and Ansel Chandler, who were selected for All-State Band and Orchestra. For All-State Treble Choir, we had Ava Johnson, Carly Johnson, Alicia Bianchi, Leah Evans, and Amber Gilbreth. For All-State Mixed Choir, we had Emily Milam, Will Bradshaw, Lex Nodine, and Sam Larson. And then our All-State Choir alternates were Warren Baxter, Brenna Cox, Liam James, and Crystal Super. And that's quite a group for this year, considering all of the other things that were going on at the time. The other interesting thing is that we will also be able to continue having our Borough Honor Choir honorees. So what we're going to do is we're going to utilize the same selection process as we've utilized in the past, and follow the model dictated by ASAA. So we are going to honor students this spring with that Borough Honor Choir and Borough Honor Band. We will also be utilizing the traditional ASAA Solo and Ensemble Festival. So we will have that festival here in our given location. Every high school will do so on the peninsula, and we'll have our festival in person with students from our building only and our program only. We will have an adjudicator or multiple adjudicators for that festival, and either they will join us synchronously over Zoom or asynchronously at their leisure based on their availability. They will give our students feedback on their performance. And so it's the same kind of system that they would have had in previous years. The difference is that the feedback will be asynchronous, so it won't happen at the moment of the day. They will still, however, be elevated to all-state level if they reach that level by those adjudicators. So our students are getting lots of feedback as we go along. And then, of course, we have a graduation planning meeting here shortly in the next coming days, and the plan will be for us to have something prepared as a concert choir for our graduating seniors.
And Kyle, I know KBBI's membership drive this year is April 23rd, which coincides with, that's Shakespeare's, or the day that we celebrate Shakespeare's birthday. And so I know we are collecting madrigals and songs and music for that. And have you found any that perhaps the choir or the musicians would be able to share and record so that we can share them with people on the 24th?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Kathleen. Swing Choir's core group of music that we utilize a lot throughout the course of the year for learning the very basics of working as a small ensemble fit into that category of Elizabethan style music or even music of the Elizabethan court. So that time of Shakespeare will be very well represented from Swing Choir's recordings, but we are also reaching out to musicians who have provided music for Pier 1 events in the past to send in recordings of those pieces, whether they're recordings from that time or they're recordings that are contemporaneous to that time, and we'll go forward as we collect them.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's Kyle Schneider from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District and the music program. And next on to Aaron Hollowell. Thanks for your patience, Aaron. One of the reasons why I wanted to finish with you was because you have registration going on right now, and I'd love to hear about the Writers' Conference and who's going to be there and what you have planned and how people can participate.
Thank you, Kathleen. So the Writers' Conference this year is May 15th to the 18th, and it's our return after a year's hiatus. For 19 years, the conference has brought together hundreds of writers from around the state and the country to learn from nationally renowned faculty. But due to COVID mandates, this year's conference is going to be entirely virtual. Conference participants can take part in 12 classes, 3 writers' craft conversations, a panel discussion by writers from the Peabody Award-winning PBS show Molly of Denali, as well as various networking community-building activities. There are no overlapping classes like there usually is, and people have to make decisions. If you are part of this, you can be part of the whole thing for 4 straight days. This year's faculty includes Francisco Cantu, who is the winner of the 2018 Los Angeles Times Book Prize and a finalist for the National Books Critics Circle Award in Nonfiction. Victoria Chang, the National Book Award finalist for Poetry and Guggenheim Fellow. Brandon Hobson, a National Book Award finalist for Fiction. Marie Mutsuki Mockett, finalist for the Penn Open Book Award for Nonfiction. Anish Mojagani, who is the current Poet Laureate of Oregon and 2-time individual champion of National Poetry Slam. And he is the winner of the International World Cup Poetry Slam. And Vera Starbard, who might ring a few bells for you as a wonderful Alaskan playwright in residence at Perseverance Theater. And she's also the editor of the first Alaskan magazine. And she also writes for Molly of Denali. So in order to make it accessible, we've priced the registration very low, which means we've got a lot of people registered already. And we will likely reach our cap of 125 participants.
Oh, good on you. All right.
Yeah. And so you can learn more on our website. You can actually see the whole schedule and read the descriptions of the classes.
And the website is...
Oh, one more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, there is a 1-credit class, and Rich Chapone is teaching it this year. And so if you register for the conference, you can also register for this 1-credit class and get a little learning under your belt.
Okay. And you can plug Kachemak Bay Writers Conference into your favorite search engine to find the registration page. But it's also writersconf.kpc.alaska.edu. I'm expecting no one to remember that, but it's an easy search. It's an easy search on your computer. Now, I do want to move on and ask a few questions about Story Knife, but before I do that, I want to let people know that If you have any questions or comments or recommendations for people for the arts over the summer, you can call 235-7721. Josh is standing by to put you on the air. Or you can just email your question to Kathleen@kbbi.org or your information. Or when you call Josh, he can always just take down your information and send it to us. So there are lots of ways for people to add to this information if they'd like. But back to you, Aaron Hollowell, because I want to know what's going on. This will be the inaugural Story Knife. And are the people who were chosen last year, are they the ones who are going to be in residence this year? Have you already determined who's going to be in residence?
Oh, yes. They've known for some time. So our usual season was supposed to be April through October, but we didn't feel that it was quite safe to start in April. So we've rescheduled as many people we can, and the ones that couldn't get rescheduled this year will get scheduled next year. There were 317 people who applied for those 42 spots for the 2020 season. And we're really happy that they've had patience with us to come this year. And even though it's no way mandatory for them, we're hoping that they'll take advantage of the many opportunities to interact with the arts community, to offer readings or workshops while they're here. So I think you'll see these writers around town.
Okay, and thanks, Aaron. So I'm gonna circle back now, because I want to make sure that for the panelists, you know, if something occurred to you over the course of this conversation, or just it's that time now to remind everybody of what you've got going on and how to connect. So let's start with Scott Bartlett, Homer Council on the Arts. That's homerarts.org. If you want to go and see what's happening on the website. But also, so Scott, what have we left out, or something that you might like to remind people of that's coming up?
Yeah, thanks for circling back, Kathleen. I actually want to mention a few things about art education opportunities through Council on the Arts. I mentioned briefly that we've been running Art a la Carte, which is our grade 3 through 6 after school art program. And that's taught this year by Carly Garay and Amy Comar LaPlante. And it's, the participation has picked up in that through the year as everyone gets more comfortable with working together in a space. We started online, and actually we started a month late. And so we are gonna extend our a la carte after the school year and have a couple of standalone sessions. So I'll ask people to kind of stay tuned and look for those scheduled workshops to come up, because those will be happening. We also, you know, last year we ran an Art in the Park program, which was outdoor workshop series for youth. And so we'll be doing that also this summer. We also have adult workshops happening. Charlene Klein is teaching, has been teaching a Chinese painting series, and she'll be doing Daffodils on March 24th this month. We're also planning for Mary Epperson Day, which will be Mary Epperson's birthday is June 6th, and that's a traditional celebration of the arts. And so we'll be hosting an event on Saturday the 5th, which will include a craft fair outdoors here at HCOA, as well as music performance indoor and outdoor. And the indoor will be, you know, limited capacity and cycling through audience members.
Okay, thanks. And as I go to homerart.org, the first thing I see is writers' contest winners all lined up. And I was wondering if you have, I see Dystopian Days by George Harbison is online and recorded for people to listen to. But I was wondering if there are, when I click on writers, I can see the work that they submitted that was chosen to be honored. Are there more recordings that you've been cycling through that people can hear, or is there plans to make recordings? Because I know KBBI might like to share some of those.
Yeah, thanks for asking. We did invite recordings from from all of the winners in those categories. And as more come in, we'll post them up. I hope that more will. And if any of those writers need assistance, we can help out with that. We're really excited to do the writers program. It's been on a mini year hiatus, and there was a lot of interest in it. And we're really excited to bring that back. We actually last summer hosted a Fruits of Our Quarantine poetry contest as well as a COVID-related poster contest. So we're also bringing the literary arts back in, and we're very excited about that.
Okay, thanks. That's Scott Bartlett from Homer Council on the Arts, and you can connect with them through Homer Art. Let's see, where am I? Yes.
HomerArt.org.
HomerArt.org. And next up is Asia Freeman from Bunnell Arts Center. Asia, I just want to take this moment to say how grateful I am that Bunnell Arts has led the way in having me and everyone understand and have a relationship with what decolonization means, because Bunnell Arts has led this community in that endeavor, and I really appreciate it. But I want to give you an opportunity, if there's anything that you feel like we left out or you want to remind people of, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. And I really want to thank the artists and also acknowledge the long-term work that Scott Bartlett has done, you know, in many capacities. You know, making connections and deepening connections with local tribes is an important part of that decolonizing work, just honoring the long-term presence of the stewards of this region. But artists themselves have really brought that forward. You know, we've just leaned into the projects that artists are bringing forward and basically seeing with fresh eyes how important that work is today in dismantling systemic injustices. I want to reinforce that these plate painting to-go kits are just lovely, and they're available at Bunnell. You can call or stop by. You can come in and paint. We have over 50 conversations with artists across Alaska, centering important issues of the day through inspiration and adaptation. You can find out more on our website. And we just announced our fourth annual Community Supported Art Program, the CSA. Six Homer artists are creating 30 individual unique pieces of art that fit inside this curated 10 by 10 by 5 inch box. Our Bunnell CSA committee curates this box. It's modeled after community supported agriculture programs, in which artists are paid upfront and connected to a new market for their work. So as part of this, collectors connect with new artists and artists connect with new collectors to support a thriving arts ecosystem in Alaska. Ariel Gingrich is making a little mask or a ditty bag. They're beautiful hand-printed fabrics. Anna Iredale is making sea urchin mugs. Willow Jones is carving birch salmon tail scoops in wood. Oceana Wells is making delightful small paintings featuring scenes from the area. Sandra Choate Hudson is making upcycled wool mittens. Sandra's known in many different capacities, including being an outstanding school teacher in Homer, but she has this sideline as an artist in which she upcycles wool and makes beautiful objects. These mittens are just adorable. Allison Galbraith has sterling silver and bead jewelry. So these six artists each have an item in the box, and shares will be available for sale June 1st, but you can find out more online about this and other ventures that we're doing. We're so appreciative for this opportunity.
Great.
to talk with you all.
Yeah. And it's an investment in local artists, so thanks for that. And Jennifer Norton from Pier 1 Theater, is there anything that we missed around, or do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I want to invite people to visit YouTube today and check out our 15-minute St. Patrick's Day concert. It's really fun. I hope people tune into that. The Shakespeare Committee, newly formed, is looking for a name. And we invite you to submit your name ideas celebrating Shakespeare or Place or Pier 1, all tied together at info@pier1theater.org. And send us your ideas.
Okay.
And please do expect over the next couple of weeks that we'll pin down our venues and our shows, and we'll be ready to announce our live summer season with all its COVID safety protocols. We're getting close.
Thanks for that. And then pier1theater.org or your favorite social media platform, you can connect to Pier One. Thanks, Jennifer Norton. Kyle Schneider, have we left anything out from for music performance through
Not
the schools?
Not necessarily. But I do want to encourage our listeners to keep in mind that our performances are going to be coordinated for the benefit of our students and their families initially. If we are able to open it up to the public, we will. But at this time, that's who our focus is on. And also that going forward, remind your students and the students in your lives that the arts are still going on. We are still active in the schools. We are going to continue to be active in the schools. So please make sure that your performing and fine arts and technical arts are all on your schedules for next year.
Thanks. That's Kyle Schneider from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And Aaron Hollowell, I wonder if there's anything we left out or if you want to just remind people one more time about how they can. There are still some slots open for the Writers Conference, correct?
There are. So I would suggest people register soon if they want to take part. And I wanted to mention that we're hoping sometime at the end of the summer or the fall to have an open house at Story Knife, so that people can come see all the amazing artwork, quilts, potteries that local women artists have donated for the women writers, and the gardens and the incredible scenery. So keep your eyes open for that.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to all the guests. That's Aaron Hollowell from the Kenai Peninsula. That's Aaron Hollowell from the Kachemak Bay Writers Conference and Story Knife. Also, thanks to Jennifer Norton from Pier 1 Theater, Kyle Schneider from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Asia Freeman from Bunnell Arts Center, and Scott Bartlett from Homer Council on the Arts. This is Kathleen Gustafson and the Coffee Table here on KBBI AM 890. Reach out to your local arts organizations. And there's plenty to do for you to contribute, and there are plenty of things for you to take from them to feed your spirit. No matter what you've been going through this year, the arts are one of the best ways that, for me, it's the best way that I've found to enhance and feed my spirit. So I just want to make sure to thank all these organizations for all the work that they're doing, and encourage everyone to reach out in whatever way you like. So thanks to everyone, and you guys have a wonderful morning. Any last words? Everybody feel like they've got their message out today?
Kathleen, I wanted to say one thing. I really, you know, Katie Emmerich is a board member of Bunnell, but I want to thank KBBI for partnering and allowing us to work with Katie to facilitate a lovely on-air monthly concert on KBBI. That's a really marvelous way that we've been able to continue in nurturing the creative spark. And we're super excited that there'll be a campfire songwriting workshop with Tim Easton in August after Salmon Fest through Bunnell. So check this stuff out at bunnellarts.org, and thank you for giving me one more minute to plug all the arts activities. It's hard to fit it in.
Right. There's no shortage of opportunities and things to see and ways to contribute. So thanks to all these arts organizations for all that they do. I'm bringing your mics down now, and thanks for your time.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you.